Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
Happy New Year! You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene, episode 489, with myself, Ray. I'm with the homie, Will T. Wole is out for the second straight week. Will T, Happy New Year, brother. Did you do anything special on New Year's Eve?
Happy New Year, my brother. No, I didn't. Actually, I got my black card back. I watched The Harder They Fall on Netflix.
Wow.
A couple of friends of mine. So, yeah, man, a couple of my friends, they said, yo, would you ever seen it? You lost your black card. So, you know, I got my black card back by watching that. And that's it. Not too much, man. Not too much. Very chill, low-key New Year's this year.
Will T, you want me to talk about the snow and my experience in driving in the snowstorm, but I'm not going to do that. Shout out to those individuals out there who are still fighting to get home on 95 MVA, man. It's no joke. I'm not going to speak on my experience, even though I told Wole that it was a it was an adventure, to say the least, because I had to be out, unfortunately, yesterday morning. But we are here now. We're safe. I am home. Will T, you are safe. And I'm glad you watched that movie. The music was dope. You know, Jay-Z was behind the production on that, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Yes, sir. So the urban sports scene, of course, is part of Empire Media. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington football team insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, go to YouTube and subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene there as well. This show can also be found on Podcast DC, the local app with hundreds of options in news and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows as well as other great content. And lastly, don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition of pregame.
We'll further break down the Washington football team's loss to the Philadelphia Eagles and share our thoughts on off-season priorities, including stadium renovations. Hey, Will, did you see that?
I saw the collapse.
Health and safety protocols. We got to put the stadium in that. 8:25, we're talking Washington Wizards and the strong play of Bradley Beal and Kyle Kuzma, another light-skinned brother on the rise. Is this sustainable, and where does Rui fit into the equation? And lastly, we'll discuss the NFL playoffs and what we feel is like a lack of a consensus front runner. At least I do. But first, Will T, what did you make of the Washington football team's most recent defeat to the Philadelphia Eagles, 20-16, dropping the Washington football team to 1-4 in the NFC East?
You know what? As much as the easy thing for me to say would be to say, you know, this was a team that that a superior team with superior talent and coaching won. I saw something that I liked from the Washington football team. I saw some fight. I saw some resolve. And I'm not talking about fight, you know, Jonathan Allen and Robert and Ron Payne and DeJuan Payne. You saw this team, you know, at moments struggle. This was a team that had a lot of injuries, that also was dealing with two teammates who experienced the loss of life in their lives with Montez Sweat and DeShazer Everett over the past couple of weeks. So, you know, and then, you know, the biggest story around this team coming off of the loss against Dallas was, you know, the Jonathan Allen and De'Ron Payne sideline scuffle. You know, you wanted to see how this team would bounce back from all of that. And they showed some fight. They showed some determination. But ultimately, the team that made the necessary adjustments from a coaching perspective and a team with a little bit better talent at this time, meaning the Philadelphia Eagles, won against the Washington football team.
Awesome, bro. Well, I thought, Realty, that the effort was good. The first half, the Washington football team, they did what they do. They played good defense. They held the Eagles to, I want to say, what was the score at halftime? Remind me if you don't remember, if you remember, because the Eagles, did they, I want to say, they did not get a touchdown in the first half, and they ran
Eagles
the football
well.
They
did score a touchdown.
They did not score a touchdown in the first half. The Washington football team ran the ball effectively. Taylor Heineke was efficient, even though they were short throws. That's what he does. And again, the Washington football team was leading at halftime. Unfortunately, in the second half, I believe the defense, of course, tired out a bit. Jalen Hurts extended some plays. He's hard to contain. And we saw how that game ended. The Washington football team just could not muster up much on offense, which falls on one individual being Scott Turner, the offensive coordinator, who I'm going to mention this week, even though Wolate is not on the show. And we'll get to him when we discuss our offseason priorities, because my man Wole already hit me up about that being on his list. Of course that is. But Scott Turner needed to stick to the run. I think we all knew that, to help out his quarterback, get his quarterback on the move outside the pocket and make some throws to his number one receiver, and that's Terry McLaurin. But at the end of the day, I think the Washington football team, mentally, as strong as you said they are, they knew that they didn't have a chance, a good chance at least, to make the playoffs. There was a glimmer of hope. And I believe that this team was looking forward to the offseason after what you just mentioned, different incidents. It's just been a tumultuous year, especially as of late, some unfortunate situations occurring on this team. And it's time to start over in the offseason. But there is a game coming up this weekend. Yeah, go ahead, bro.
Ray, let me clean up one thing. At halftime, the score was 16-7, Washington.
Okay, so it's one touchdown, my bad. Okay. So, of course, you go into halftime with a lead, you only allow one touchdown, my bad. Again, it looked promising. You saw the difference between this Washington team versus the one that showed up that had so many players on the COVID list a few weeks prior in Philadelphia. So, yeah, I appreciate the correction. But moving forward to this week, a meaningless game. However, what did you make of Joe Judge, the New York Giants coach, take his shot at the Washington football team in his presser?
I mean, it's the easy thing to do, right? You know, Mike McCarthy, he came back and he said that, you know, the first game against Washington said that they would win that game, right? And they did. Joe Judge, you know, he's a guy who, you know, is probably smelling himself because he knows that he'll be back next year despite two very underwhelming seasons. And then he sees this Washington team coming kind of limping to the finish line. Also like the New York football Giants with nothing to play for. And he just says, hey, I'm going to make a bold statement to kind of empower my team, you know? So I think that's the only thing, you know, with his statement.
We are a boxing show, right, Will? We love boxing on this show. And what I can compare this to is Amir Khan, his upcoming fight versus Kell Brook. They're talking so much trash. They're like, I'm going to retire you. This is going to be your last fight. Kell Brook is like, if I lose to Amir Khan, I'm retiring. But at the end of the day, how significant is this fight in terms of the popularity of boxing, in terms of boxing fans? And this game, Joe Judge is trying to hype it, but it is so meaningless. It really is. But I guess it does have draft implications. Do you think that's a big, focus that's going into this game?
Look, if you are the Giants and you're coming off a loss, a 29-3 loss against the Chicago Bears, I don't think there's really room for you to talk any smack coming into this game. Now, I understand why Joe Judge felt the need to, but there isn't anything. This truly is one of those games where guys are going to go into the locker room, throw their jerseys in the middle of the floor, and most of them probably are, you know, and they're going to get on their bus or get in their cars, and they're going to go home, and they're going to go in the next day, and they're going to clean out their lockers at the training facility. This is a meaningless game. This is one of those games that, to be honest with you, if there's certain guys who you know are going to be a part of your core going forward next year, you don't even play those guys, right? So if you're Ron Rivera, do you play Jonathan out? Do you play Deron Payne, right? Do you play, you know, a Terry McLaurin? Because those are guys you know you want next year. There's no reason for those guys to play this game unless they have, you know, unless they just want to go out there for the sense of pride or they have some type of performance incentives in their contract, this is one of those dangerous games where a guy can get hurt to play in a meaningless game.
Hey, listen, we done mentioned the word meaningless how many times. However, I will say this. For a guy like Jamin Davis, this may not be meaningless. With Ron Rivera coming out and saying that he may be better on the outside, this just might be an evaluation period for this coaching staff. So the young guys and those guys who are on the verge of being released or not part of this roster next year, maybe this is a meaningful game to them, and you want to go out and play well. And who's playing quarterback for the Giants this week? Jake Fromm? That's one reason why I feel like Joe Judge. I like Jake Fromm, too, because I'm just a Georgia Bulldogs fan, but we've seen his arm strength and how that hindered his ability to get drafted, even though he's a good quarterback. Not drafted. He did get drafted, but I mean drafted in the top three rounds of the NFL draft. And while he's a good quarterback, good dude, seemingly, I watched the Netflix QB1 special with him on it. Bro, and Will Lazy text me, F Georgia. Hey, listen, you got to respect that Georgia's consistent, dude, so calm down. I like Jake Fromm. Don't hate on Jake Fromm, Will Lazy. Jake Fromm is not somebody who's going to pose a significant threat at quarterback. So this might be a good opportunity for some of these defensive players to go in and have a strong showing and give a measuring stick for next season.
Let me ask you this, Ray. What's the difference between this game and, say, the fourth preseason? Or excuse me, there's no longer a four preseason game.
The third preseason game,
right? It's both games are essentially meaningless. The difference is guys are under contract, you know, guys are on the team, they're playing, they have a salary that they'll be paid, a guaranteed salary they'll be paid. But if you think about it, in essence, when it comes to the on-field product, there really isn't a whole lot of difference between that and the third preseason game. This is a meaningless game where you could only, in some aspects, hurt yourself going forward if certain key players are injured, right? So, you know, if you have guys that have really proven themselves, maybe you get them a half of football.
Right? Here's the difference, though, Will. You played how many games you struggled, and now I'm sure that the coaching staff, some of the decisions that maybe they were intended to make going into the season, that's changed now. Maybe some personnel or some players on the team who they felt good about, they don't no longer feel good about. Again, Jamin Davis, they felt good about him because of his athleticism, playing the middle. But now they don't feel so confident that he's going to be strong right there in the middle. So it's some evaluation that will take place. But it is a meaningless game. No, we agree on that part. And you have to, at this point, as we're discussing, start looking forward to the off-season. And I appreciate all the social media comments. We're going to get to you. Will T, first, I'm going to ask you, what's the top three priorities for the off-season with this Washington football team? And expound on it, bro. I'm respond to some of the stuff that you say because we can't disagree on none of it. It's a lot that needs to be done.
First, you need to decide on a name for this franchise, which they'll do on February 2nd. Well, I think that's important, right?
That's the top priority going into the offseason?
I mean, it kind of renders who you are and what your franchise is going forward.
I'm hearing Commanders.
Don't you think that's kind of important? I think it's Washington football team, but that's neither here
nor
there.
I heard that was already ruled out along with Wolves and Red Wolves, even though Jason Wright didn't put it out there. But according to sources, quote unquote, the name Washington football team will not exist after February 2nd. But go ahead, brother. My bad. I'm going to let you do your thing, and I'll respond after you done.
No. It's all good. It's all good. So after that, okay, so let's say that's one. 1A would be find a quarterback. That would be 1A. Find a quarterback, whether through the draft or free agency. Number two would be the evaluation of your coaching staff, right? We saw certain elements. We saw during the season, maybe guys weren't put in the right position to excel, and maybe that's a coaching element. So you have to evaluate your coaching staff and make a determination of, you know, if you're Ron Rivera, do I have the right guys inside of that building leading guys at certain positions? The third thing would be, you need to rebuild. You need to build the off. And the third thing would be rebuilding the offensive line. And the fourth thing for me would be, you need to get, look, Curtis Samuel, he, you know, when he played, he did look like he, you know, he warranted some attention from some defenses, but you need to make a determination on, you know, and get another guy across from Terry McLaurin, another guy that can open up the field for him.
Can you believe we're still talking about that after the last offseason when you drafted De'Ami Brown and you signed Curtis Samuel? It's crazy, but that's where we are. But that may come down to one person. Okay, so I like everything you said. Again, we can't disagree at this point. We can offer feedback. Like, I might not agree with the order you put your priorities in. You start out with the name. Okay. I'm agree with the masses. If you're not winning, the name don't matter. You can be called the Washington Monuments, but if you suck, nobody's gonna care what the name is.
Okay.
I thought you were gonna say something. I thought you were about to interject for a minute, so that's why I got quiet. But look, I'm gonna give you mine, right? And I'm not gonna lie, I didn't want to go cliche because a lot of the feedback that I saw here, they're very similar. But where we agreed to start at, because you said 1A, is quarterback. You mentioned the name Malik Willis. And I also have been hearing the name Sam Howell from North Carolina. Although some people feel as though Sam Howell is not a first-round pick. They feel like if he's around in the second round, you draft him. But I believe not just that you have to add a QB, you have to draft a QB. All the noise around the organization is saying that no top free agent quarterback is going to want to sign here. I know my homie Big Doug's been saying Matt Ryan is probably that top choice of that free agent quarterback list where he's going to probably, he'll come here. Now, don't start that, okay, because you know I'm an Atlanta fan, but Matt Ryan is at the end of his career, correct? And Matt Ryan,
yes.
he had an MVP season. I know you don't necessarily think that he's the greatest quarterback, and yeah, he probably underachieved at times, but he was solid. I mean, he gave Atlanta a stable quarterback for years, and this football team, this organization hasn't had that. But that's the only guy that many can say might come here, and that's a might, and that's a big if. As to if Matt Ryan wants to win a Super Bowl probably before he retires, so I would think he might just go to a contender, and he'll serve as a serviceable backup. Which, as we see with COVID, you know you're gonna be thrust into the lineup potentially at some point on a team. So, but other than that, you can't think of a free agent quarterback, so you're gonna have to draft somebody. I don't care if Ron is trying to rebuild a certain way. You have to get somebody to establish a sustainable formula to win in the future. And that starts at the QB position, arguably the most important position on the team. Now, this might shock you, Wilty. Number two, I'm going to say you need to have or hold some team building activities in the offseason. I'll expound. Think about this. Chase Young, he was on Mercedes commercials. He was on Family Feud. He was all over the place. Now, go get your money, brother. I'm not disagreeing with that. But chemistry not coming in with new faces. William Jackson, Bobby McCain, new guys, Jamin Davis. You had new players, most of whom were on defense, some on offense too, Sam Cosmi, some on draft picks, John Bates. And we thought the defense was going to be awesome, but the chemistry lacked. And that boiled over in Dallas when you saw that fight on the sideline. So how do you build cohesiveness? Have you ever been to a team building event at your job, Will?
I have, and I didn't enjoy it much.
I guess because we don't feel like doing
it. Just to be honest. But,
I don't know if it helps, but think about this. When you're put in a different environment with your coworkers, one that's not focused on work, one that's more laid back, you see a different side of them. And most of the time, you can at least have, I guess, more of a enjoyable experience with those people. Not saying that you enjoy the entire team building exercise, but just your interactions with others, I think, are more positive, or they're just different from the workplace. So I think
it's team awkward, building man. Is big. It's awkward. This team building thing should be awkward, man. Because, look, you're forced to sit around for someone you don't really rock with, or you really don't care to hear about their kids or their family life. Like, I don't care. It's just, hey, I need you to do something for me. Do it. That's all.
See, Will, you
get
it
done. Just get the job done.
You
just get the job done. I don't want any of that other stuff. And I'm pretty sure. And I don't mean to cut you off. So go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'll retort to your to your suggestions afterwards.
I'm going to say this. Remember the Miami Heat, right? The year they won the championship with Pat Riley, Dwayne Wade was the leader of that team. Shaq was on that squad. I want to say this is 2006. You can correct me if I'm wrong. You already helped me out earlier in the show. When they were getting ready to be swept, what it looked like, they were down to Dallas, 2-0, and they did a team-building activity. They all took pictures, and they took meaningful things about themselves. They placed it in the middle of the locker room in some sort of container, I want to say. It might have been a trash can. And they said, this is what we're playing for. And most of it was family and loved ones and friends. And people had college teammates, people they grew up with. What motivated you to come to the league? And that made all the difference. What did they do? They came back, they won 4 straight, and they won the championship. Team-building activities can work if you do it right. I know your job, my job too. We've had some whack ones. The food ain't always good, but this is the NFL. They can step it up. So I believe you need to build chemistry, and that starts in the offseason. Coming together, get personal, get to know your brother next to you, and play for your brother next to you. That way, hopefully, you know, if frustrations do boil over, it won't reach that point, especially when you have two guys who play together. So team building is number two. Lastly, it's the stadium, Will. Come on, man. How many incidents? We had sewer water that they say was, it wasn't sewage. It was just leftover rain. You had daggone railings collapsing this past week. Almost hit a player. Then the PR debacle. It's two sides of the story. Oh, we got EMS personnel there quickly. Oh, no, they didn't. We had to get seen once we got back to New Jersey. This was Eagles fans. FedEx Field is a hot mess of turf. It needs to be renovated. If you want people to show up and if you want the fan experience to improve, you have to do that. And that's going to be essential for your business. So those are my three. Quarterback, drafting a quarterback. Number two, team building to build chemistry. And number three, you got to fix that daggone stadium. You're going to be there for the foreseeable future. So there it is, Will. Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to start. I'm going to go reverse with number three. Number three, that's fair. But I think we've seen over the past, I don't know, 15 years, you know, I will give Daniel Snyder and Tonya Snyder this credit. They have made some incremental improvements to the stadium, right? Inside of it, right? Trying to improve the game day experience for fans who go and attend games live in person. But the reality is the lease is up in 2027. You aren't going to put that much of a, you're not going to invest that much from a dollar perspective to improve that stadium, right? Even though, you know, some people in PG think it's the crown jewel of Prince George's County. We have the Washington football team playing in our backyard. There isn't anything around that stadium conceivably for you to do, right? There are no hotels. There's no entertainment. There's no restaurants. There's no dining. There isn't anything around there. And I don't see them investing yes, there is Jasper's, and there's a Friday's that's probably like 2 miles away from you and Wegmans. Go check out Wegmans and get some wings. So, but there isn't in the vicinity of the stadium. There isn't a lot for anyone to do. So I don't really see Daniel Snyder and the Washington Football Organization investing much into improving that stadium, right? Outside of, you know, things that are, you know, outside of regular maintenance upgrades to the stadium. Two, the drafting quarterback. That is a great point. That once in a while, once, you know, probably 10, excuse me, before Mike Shanahan arrived on the scene and Bruce Allen and Mike Shanahan arrived on the scene, this organization was known to overpay for free agents. And because you hadn't done a lot of winning, that's why you got free agents to come here. It was like, hey, you want to get paid, come to Washington. But now, since the money spigot has been cut off and this team tries to underpay people, you'll be hard pressed to find a top tier free agent quarterback that's available with Washington is like in their top two or three preferred destinations. So it will be important for this offseason. This will be the third year of Ron Rivera's you know,
contract.
Mm-hmm. Or the Ron Rivera era, for lack of a better word. We know that Taylor Heinicke, while he has a lot of things you like as a quarterback, that grit, resolve, he can make plays with his feet to kind of help the offensive line out when they're in trouble. You know that this isn't the guy who can be a guy long term. So you need to find a guy via the draft. Now, the thing that concerns me about the, you know, finding a guy via the draft is sometimes teams tend to force it, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes they grab a guy a little early. Then his evaluation grade, the scouting department has evaluated it. So, you know, Dan Snyder can't, you know, he technically can't be in the building running the day-to-day operations, so you don't have to worry about him lending his voice to liking such and such quarterback. But I'm pretty sure that they know who he prefers if they were to draft a quarterback. And the number one thing, the team building thing, I don't know about that, Ray. It's very valid. It's very valid. Guys who play football, you know, people, everyone who I've talked to who's played football on a high school, college, or professional level says that you have to want to lay it all out on the line for your brother, the man who's standing right next to you, and all of your teammates. So getting that team chemistry is essential. But in the age of COVID, how do you do that? Right? You know, Omicron, you know, Omicron spreading away.
Come on, virtual will its ways, man.
Man, it's not the same virtual, man. It's not the same.
Yeah, but
being able to do certain things. Go ahead.
Building activities, how it's not always comfortable being in that situation. I don't know if comfortable is the word you use, but maybe it will be a bit simpler if everybody like, hey, log on to Zoom at this time. So there's ways, but these guys have been around each other all season. I don't think, you know, just a negative test and getting in the same room will be a problem as long as you don't have symptoms. But I get you, though. My bad.
No. That's valid. That's what we're supposed to do, man. If you got a point to make, make your point.
Well, they said Zoom meetings are boring.
They are.
Well, they is the
but
man.
They're comfortable,
right?
Though.
Well, talk,
but they're
man.
Comfortable. But Zoom meetings are comfortable because you get to be in your house in your PJs. You know what I mean?
Will got the drawers on down bottom like that commercial. I know it's a Zoom meeting. You feeling that? You ain't got cleaned up what's underneath you either. Well, they.
Nope, you don't.
Got the lotion and the shirts on the couch. Just stay there. Yeah,
sorry about that. My earpiece. Sorry about that. My earpiece came out.
That's all right.
The building, you know, the camaraderie, it's interesting to see how they'll go about doing that.
I'm gonna call you out too, Will T, because Will T, Wole, you can admit it. Texas, if you agree, he enjoyed the show virtually much more. He ain't gotta drive, he ain't gotta get there on time. Like he always on time now because he's at home, you know what I'm saying? Like it's so much easier being virtual. So virtual can work.
Oh no, I'm not going to say that necessarily. I think it makes for a better product when we're all in person, because then I know, like, when you're about to say something and I know not to overtalk you. It's hard to
do that
via the phone, right?
True.
And, you know, I can't wait to get back to us doing the show maybe once every 3 weeks in person. You know?
Mm. I know, man. I miss seeing you in your white tee, bro. Walk through the door. Anyway. George Templeton on Twitter, he said, first of all, you got to find a quarterback. Number two, upgrade both coordinators. He said both coordinators, Wole, and add and improve talent in the defense's back seven. Can't argue with any points he made, although I don't see Del Rio going anywhere because, like we talked about in our postgame show, where do you go from Del Rio? George, I know you're going to be listening at some point. If you're not listening now, tell us where to go. You got to have a solution too, baby. It's not too many Raheem Morrises out there, but maybe you have that. Hit us up, of course, like you always do on social media. I'm going to go to Bobby Williams next on Twitter. He said number one, quarterback. Number two, middle linebacker. interesting. And number three, Chase Young's development. Chase Young's development is a priority. That's different. He's the only one on social media to put that out there. Will, what you think about that?
That's an interesting point, right? This was supposed to be the year, because based off of what we saw from Chase Young during his rookie season, this was supposed to be the year where Chase Young possibly contended for Defensive Player of the Year. When he was on the field, he didn't make an impact from a statistical perspective, right? Getting to sacks, making strip fumbles, creating turnovers, things of that nature. But you saw his impact because of, you know, how offensive lines would shift towards him, how they would have to chip him with a running back coming out of the backfield, right? You know, so the most important thing is you want to see Chase Young not freelance as much and keep his rush lane integrity, right? Because we saw instances where a lot of sacks were not gotten by him, or quarterbacks were allowed to escape the pocket because the front four didn't keep their rush responsibility to stay in their lanes.
Okay, brother, spit it. All right. We got Steven. I believe he was on Facebook. I want to say his last name. I hope I get it right. Well, they text me if I'm wrong. Griffin. But Steven on Facebook, he said defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, very similar to George. And he said bring back – oh, Steven Miller. Dang, what did I say, Griffin? Steven Miller, my fault. No disrespect. Appreciate you, brother, for the comment. Bring back A.B., meaning Adrian Peterson, we believe, all day. That's his nickname. I don't know why we would bring back Adrian Peterson here at this point.
Why would you,
Sean?
I don't know.
Hey, go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
I like who they have in the backfield now, Gibson, but that's just me.
Okay. And Wole, of course, I'm going to read Wole's too. Wole chimed in on this. No surprise here. Quarterback. I don't know, Wole, if you meant draft one or sign one in free agency. Offensive coordinator. We already know how you feel about Scott Turner. And Wole went a little different too. He said, just have a good draft, because now after evaluating the rookie class this year, people are saying this was a bad draft class. There's no one standout except for John Bates is the person that people are excited about moving forward, which is interesting when he was, you know, viewed as a blocking tight end coming into the season. And now he has stolen the heart. Oh, and Cosme was good. I like Cosme. I think Cosme was good. But other than that, Cameron Cheeseman, Viami Brown, who else am I missing? Of course, Jamin Davis. What's the corner's name again, Will? Forgive me, I'm messing up names today. I'm focused on social media right now. Benjamin St. Juice, yes. Will, yes. What did you think about this draft class? And do you think an upgrade is needed in terms of personnel selection, and who should make the selection? Rivera needs to kind of step back from that, I think.
Well, I'll say this. I think you really can't evaluate a draft class until like 2 or 3 years out, right? Most guys, you know, coming in their rookie year, they're trying to figure things out. Or there may be some type of preferential treatment given to veterans ahead of them. So I think you have to be able to give guys a enough of a sample size before you can make a judgment on them. So I'm not gonna say, you know, this draft class was a bust or not just yet. But I'll say this. You have to have guys who can come in and contribute from that. You have to have more guys in this upcoming 2022 draft who can come in and possibly contribute from day one than your situation from 2021. Because it seems as if some of the guys that you drafted in 2021 are depth or backup guys, right? Their play thus far hasn't shown you that they could be every down contributors for you. So I think you need to hit. I think you need to have a higher hit rate on some of the guys you draft in 2022 to come in
and
in the hopes that they could be regular contributors.
Absolutely. You're listening to the Urban Sports Team, part of Empire Media, empiremedia.com. Ray and Will T. We're in the building. Wole is out. SLWA211. He said on, I believe this was IG, quarterback, he said the secondary, Landon Collins, is overpaid, by the way. And again, quarterback. He had quarterback twice. He said, honestly, the team is not very good. Good pieces, but hasn't come together consistently. Most, if not all, of our wins were fluke, and TH, me and Taylor Heineke, has basically peaked. He just doesn't have it, which is why he is stressing quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. And lastly, our homie Reginald Woodson, now he had the weirdest one, man. He said, I don't know if anything crucial could truly be improved based on all the things to consider. Hard to really evaluate the coaches when they never had a healthy team on the field. Definitely need to address quarterback, free agency versus draft, he said, which is interesting. And lastly, Taylor Heineke is going on with strength and conditioning and the training staff. So, where so many players live on IR, so he's taking a shot at Taylor Heineke. Like, you will be on the strength and conditioning staff and help players get back on the field, because he's basically trying to say he's not a quarterback. We appreciate all the comments. We'll see what this team does. I think a team building activity would be dope. But anyway, Will T, Bradley Beal, he's a distributor, bro. These last three games, he's played awesome. We're talking Wizards now. We're going to transition into basketball. I just got a message from the producer saying, skip the break. Let's keep it moving. Even though he had a stall queued up and everything, it's all good. But what did you think about Bradley Beal getting 17 assists against the Chicago Bulls, albeit in the loss? But this his play as of late, been more efficient. He's been the primary ball handler. Then when he's been out, can he sustain this level of success with the Washington Wizards right now? As they play teams that are beatable, they have the Orlando Magic several times coming up, and they can make a playoff push. What do you think about Brad?
I think it's nice to see that part of his game. You know, one of the things that when Bradley Beal came into the league, one of the questions that some people had was his ability to create off the dribble, not just for himself but for others. And he's shown, you know, his game has kind of come full circle. You know, with him collecting, what was it, like 17 assists against the Chicago Bulls. But will he be able to sustain this? No. I don't think it's in the best interest of your team to have Bradley Beal play this type of way, because, let's be honest, you don't have a lot. You know, you have some guys from an offense. I don't want to say just kind of issue on the team. You have some guys from an offensive perspective with Kyle Kuzma, KCP, Montrezl Harrell when he comes back. So you have some weapons, you have some pieces, but you don't want a team to be able to set their defense against Bradley Beal, because then you run into what James Harden and the Houston Rockets ran into, right? With him getting the ball at the top of the key, dribble, 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 make a move to beat his man, then get past his man and make an assist. When you have a guy who's that impactful as a offensive weapon, you want him to play off of the balls. That way teams won't be able to concentrate and hone in their defense on him. Look at the Golden State Warriors. Look how just having Steph Curry, him being able to move, you know, with different type of stagger screens, all, you know, curls, flare screens, what he's done, what him playing that way, what it's done for the Golden State Warriors and how it's opened up their offense. And Bradley Beal, you know, even though he isn't the shooter that Steph Curry is, he's a guy who definitely has great accuracy from three and has tremendous range. So you want him to play off the ball.
Wow. I don't know if you really think the James Harden comparison is a good one. Because James Harden, to me, he had his team playing at a high level. I mean, they were top, you know, 3-5 seed, sometimes competing for that number one seed in the Western Conference when he was, I mean, just a flat out playmaker, scorer and distributor. I don't think Brad has gotten to that level yet.
I do think it's a fair assessment, because if we look at those Houston Rocket teams, outside of Chris Paul and outside of Russell Westbrook when they played with James Harden and maybe Eric Gordon, right? Who are the guys that could create for themselves off of the dribble or who were an offensive threat consistently. There wasn't anyone, right? Mm-hmm. And I take, and that's why I use that example for Bradley Beal and the Wizards. If we look at Kyle Kuzma, isn't a guy who's going to get, who isn't going to create shots for himself or others. KCP isn't a guy who's going to, he's more of a 3-and-D guy. That's, you know, that's what you view him as more of, more or less. So I think it's in the same, you're in the same situation outside of the Wizards aren't a team that's going to hoist up 33 threes a game. Right. If you get Brad, if you put the ball in Brad's hand.
Okay. I again, Brad, every year he gets better. I love him. And we're about to just continue to have this discussion as to what he's playing for. Somebody posted, CEO at Trey Millie 15 on Twitter. He said, Brad is doing it right if he is after the money. Get that $200 million. Stay for a year or two into the deal and then ask out. He said that's the smartest thing to do if he wants to win after he signs the deal. I just don't see him as a Batman winning a ring. And then Taj Wilson actually replied to that. He said, nah, not Batman. I don't think he is a Nightwing. He said, Shepard has his hands full because not only do you have Brad, do they re-sign Harrell? What do you do with Kuz if he said, what to do if Kuz doesn't opt in for his player option? Do they trade Thomas Brown or Rui? Is Dinwiddie okay? He said, just so many questions around signing Brad at that amount of money. But that's what Brad is playing for, essentially, right? He's trying to maximize his value, whether it's here or whether it's not in Washington. I don't care if he becomes James Harden, this team is a top three seed. I don't know if $200 million plus is going to be the smart move for this franchise in terms of building a good team, an all-around good team.
That's the situation you kind of boxed yourself into at that point, right? You haven't proactively gauged the market for what Bradley Beal could give you, right? So, and we all know that, Bradley Beal, okay, let's say if he were to be traded to another team, a team that's in the champion, most likely he would be traded to a team that's in championship contention, correct? That's what his request would be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that said team would give Bradley Beal $200 million? No.
Heck no. No, sir.
The best way for him to get it is like the listener said, stay in Washington. I want to be in Washington. I want to be in Washington. Then you get the $200 million. Then a year, maybe a year and a half into the contract, I don't see how we win long term with this organization. So then you have to trade them. You have to trade them to, the way that today's NBA is with player empowerment, most likely you have to trade him to a place that he wants to be.
That's
gonna work out.
That's what I've been saying. If he doesn't commit by the trade deadline, then you got to move on from Brad. If I'm Tommy Shepard, which I don't think he's going to do, of course. I already said that. I keep dangling the name Ben Simmons because I believe they would take on a Bradley Beal because he would be a good complement to a guy like Joel Embiid, of course. And just Brad is a flat-out scorer, shooter. He would be dope in Philly, kind of like Seth Curry is thriving in his role in Philly when we know Brad is a bit more skilled off the dribble than Seth Curry.
Yeah.
But Cameron Mingo. Oh, go ahead, bro.
No, and that's a great suggestion, but we also forget who Ben Simmons' agent is. Rich Paul, Clutch Sports. So if they don't want to come to Washington, they'll make enough noise to let Washington know, hey, we don't want to be here, so don't bring Ben Simmons here, or it's not going to be a very enjoyable situation.
I think Washington was on Ben Simmons' shortlist. Washington was definitely there. I want to say Portland was there and Dallas were on Ben Simmons' short list of teams that he would want to play for, if I'm not mistaken. So there's a possibility of that happening. But again, right now, when you look at the schedule, again, you have several winnable games coming up. As a matter of fact, I want to pull up the schedule because I just want to look. I mean, I don't always like looking at schedule. But the way this team is playing, aren't we more confident now that the Wizards can win these games against teams that are struggling, such as, again, the Orlando Magic? They'll pull these games out as opposed to in the past where they would not always win those games that they were supposed to. They went in the favorite. I think now they're in a good position to where if you, quote-unquote, win these games.
Yeah, I have the schedule in front of me. So
you do good.
Next game is Wednesday against the Houston Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
Then Friday at Chicago. I think that'll be a loss. Sunday at Orlando. That you should win that game.
Right.
Tuesday, January 11th against the Oklahoma City Thunder. You should win that game. Wednesday versus Orlando. You should win that game. It's Saturday the 15th against Portland at home. So without Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, I don't know if those two guys would be available to play those days. You should win that game. So we're thinking about it the next 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, OKC, Orlando's at Destiny. Those are wins. Orlando twice.
So probably four out of the six games, you know, depending if Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum play, four out of the six games, you should go into favorite and you should win.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And again, you're putting yourself in a position to be a top six seed right around the time where the trade deadline starts to creep closer, which may be a favorable thing for Brad, depending on, again, what his mindset is. But let's move on real quick, Will, because we also want to discuss Kyle Kuzma, 36-14 versus the Hornets last night. Big three-pointers, late, clutch Kuz. Talked about his championship DNA after the game, which I thought was dope. Also on Saturday, 29-12 against Chicago. Also a game in which the Wizards, they should have won at home. Strong effort against a really good Chicago Bulls team. What's your make of Kuz's play as of late? And also, what do you do with Rui, who has not played a game yet this season?
Well, I think history has shown that Kyle Kuzma hasn't historically been able to sustain this level of play. It's great to see him, you know, it's great to, and I don't know if it was just because he was in LA and he didn't have, you know, he wasn't a primary playmaker. It was because, you know, the offense wasn't structured in that way, or just LeBron wasn't able to find him open for a lot of opportunities. But he's doing it now. Thankfully, he's doing it in D.C. I don't think that, you know, he'll be able to sustain this level of play. But if he, you know, if he's able to come in and be the number two scorer for this team over the second half of the season, you know, being a guy that could almost average like 20 and possibly almost 20 and 10, That bodes well for the Wizards. And if he's able to do that, given that, you know, and I don't know the situation with Rui. I don't know if it's a situation where he, if there are things in his personal life that he's working through, or he just doesn't want to be in DC playing in DC, then you have to start to explore your options.
And I was going to read this tweet from Cameron Mingo. Shout out to him, man. Always a pleasure to have him listen to our show and converse with him on social media. He said, going back to Brad real quick, because I meant to read this. He said, yes, I believe Brad should stay as a distributor. That's what has been his game since Wall got hurt. He said, as for Rui, make him a backup power forward, a small forward, to see how he contributes after missing a lot of time. But if Kuzma keeps his play up, then trade Rui. LaMarcus Dofet came back and said, why trade him? Don't you think he can be a good player if Kuz is a good player? And Cameron said, of course, I think he can be a good player, but if Rui can't live up to the potential that the Wizards fans have been waiting to see under Coach West Unseld, then trade him. And to be honest, I've seen a number of individuals on social media who said Rui can be traded. They feel as though the Wizards, with the roster the way it's currently constructed, can win without him, which they kind of are at this point. They, of course, ran into some struggles, but overall, this is a much better team, a much better coach team than last season, and that's been without Rui Hachimura. Although you already know how I feel about Rui, I believe he could be a key contributor under a new coach who will allow him to play his game, kind of like he played at Gonzaga, and have the ball in his hands. Rui's an excellent shooter. He can add size and athleticism to that front court. So I think Rui, who's also versatile, powerful, the small forward that was just indicated, he can stay on this roster and he can ball. What he can't do though is he can't rebound as good as Kuz can yet, and he cannot shoot from the 3-point line as good as Kuz. And for that reason, he's going to have to come off the bench.
No, I agree. Totally agree. I don't know when he'll be back. Hopefully he's able to come back soon. But like I said, I want to see this team at full strength, meaning I want to see him and I want to see Thomas Bryant. And I want to see how Wes Unseld Jr. And the coaching staff integrate those two players and what they're able to contribute to this team down the stretch.
So Will T, the Wiz currently 19-18. Is it safe to say, I know we talked about how the rest of the season will look, that we're confident as analysts and fans are confident that this Wiz team will take play, will be part of the postseason. I'm not going to say top six per se, but they'll take part in the postseason, whether that be playoffs or playoffs. Are we confident at this point the way they're hooping?
Yeah, I think they played well enough to at least be in the play-in. That's as far as I go. I think this team's played well enough that I feel confident that this could be a team that will be in the play-in. But having said that, there are two teams, the New York Knicks and the Atlanta Hawks, that are just outside of the top 10. So you have to ask yourself, will those two teams, because those two teams were both playoff teams, last year, will those two teams kind of get back to how they played in 2021? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's a fair point.
Like I said, one of the things I tend to look at, and I know that one of my friends, if he's listening, he's a stat geek like myself. You know, is point differential. You know, I look at the Wizards, a negative 2.2 point differential, the Knicks, negative 1 point, and the Atlanta Hawks negative 0.1. To me, those teams are far, those last two teams are, in my opinion, even though the record doesn't show it, are a little bit better. Those teams are a little bit better just from a point differential standpoint. So if they get back to playing consistent basketball over the second half like they did last year, begs to ask, what two teams will come out of that top 10 if they're able to elevate into the top 10. Maybe the Wizards are one of those teams that fall out. But you never know.
Yeah, we can expect that Cleveland may take a step back too, just based off injuries. So we'll see. The Wizards will have an opportunity, but you got to beat these teams you're talking about, the Knicks, Atlanta, Boston, I'm going to throw in there, Indiana. You have to hold serve at home, protect your home court, and you should be fine just based on how you started the season and where you are now and how you're playing now and how these two guys that we just identified, Kuz and Brad, maybe it's hard to find a better duo than Kuz and Brad. Put it out there, Wole, right now. But speaking of postseason, we are going to talk NFL playoffs. And here's the thing, Will. For those individuals who are subscribed to the Urban Sports Team, you're getting an ad-free show. We're going to skip our last break as well, and we're going to keep it moving. Don't you love the Urban Sports Team? We're doing it for free. You don't even have to pay extra to get the ads and the commercials removed. So, Will T, the question coming into the show is there a consensus favorite to win the Super Bowl right now? I'm going to say no. What do you think?
I agree with you. I'm going to say no. If you force me to pick two teams right now, did I say, one team from the NFC, one team from the AFC? If I had to choose, I would say Kansas City and Green Bay. But I don't think that there isn't a consensus favorite, heading into the Super Bowl. Usually around this time of year, we're able to pick out, two or three teams that would say, specifically one from, each conference and say, those would be the two teams that would be, playing on the last Sunday for the Super Bowl championship. But it's been a lot of inconsistencies from a play perspective. And then also you add in the health and safety protocols related to COVID. So you never really know. Never really know.
That's a great point. That could possibly hinder a team. I know we're still figuring out who's going to be in the playoffs, but Kevin Nibley just added on Twitter. He said, Chiefs, Packers, Bills, my best three left, but any could be an upset, but any could be upset any week, which is true. Because look at what happened. The Bengals beat the Chiefs. The Bengals on any given Sunday can beat anybody. So it'll be great. The Colts are another scary team. They have a really good defense. If they're running the ball well, I think they could beat anybody. So I'm loving this. Will T, is this good for the NFL that there is no prohibitive favorite, that Tom Brady isn't expected to just walk through the playoffs and win another Super Bowl? What do you think?
Not necessarily. You know, the NFL is all about the quarterback position and marketing that star quarterback. The one thing, you know, that you could possibly end up with, you know, it's feasible is, you know, Carson Wentz in the Indianapolis Colts versus, Kyler Murray in the, possibly Kyler Murray in the Arizona Cardinals. Not that sexy of a matchup heading to the Super Bowl, right? You know, when you have a guy like Tom Brady, and his team is one of the favorites, you always know you're going to have that star power. You know you're going to have Tom Brady. You know that, you know, the NFL knows the most important game on the last Sunday of the season, they'll be able to develop a storyline around Tom Brady, right? What's the storyline for Carson Wentz and Kyler Murray? There isn't one, right? What's the storyline for a guy like Jalen Hurts? Jalen Hurts versus Joe Burrow. There isn't one, right?
I don't know if storylines is that significant for many fans. Like, look at the Super Bowl with the Cardinals. That Larry Fitzgerald, Kurt Warner, Anquan Boldin, Darnell Dawkins.
Kurt Warner was the storyline. Kurt Warner, the free agent, the guy who was bagging groceries, who won a title with St. Louis. Can he do it again with Arizona, another beaten down franchise that hadn't won a championship in 50 plus years? That was the storyline.
You really think that was the storyline going into that game?
Absolutely. I absolutely 100% do. When you know, those 2 weeks or, you know, after the championship week, right? There are no games that next week, right? Right?
No, right.
There's no football game. Okay. Yeah. So the majority of the world, they consume their sports from where? ESPN, right? Mm-hmm. Even though ESPN is losing households, losing viewership, it still has enough staying power where they kind of drive the storyline of sports. The thing you'll hear that week in between, you know, after the championship games and before, I guess, Super Bowl week, quote unquote, starts, is you'll start to hear narratives on ESPN, and you'll hear narrative on other sports outlets, about the games or the players in the game. And that's important because that's what makes the general public want to follow the game, right? The diehard sports fans like you, me, Wole, or people who listen to the show, we're going to watch the Super Bowl regardless. But to make it a pop culture sensation that the NFL really wants it, so you get like 25, 50 million people watching the Super Bowl, you have to have a storyline that people can buy into. And you don't have that if you just have regular quarterbacks, or you don't have a guy who is perceived as being like the next, the one.
Well, if one of the top quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, makes a Super Bowl, that will be the storyline. Hopefully it's against a team that many are not expecting to win, such as Indianapolis Colts or Cincinnati Bengals, because The America loves the underdog. The NCAA tournament is amazing because we love to see the underdogs win. I don't disagree with you. I just don't know if it's necessarily needed at this point when the Super Bowl is an undocumented holiday in the United States. So I think the NFL this season will do well. But you're right, though. It may not. And in years past, it's been some star power, and ratings still haven't been the greatest. So you want to have all the, I guess, positive factors on your side if you're the league going in to Super Bowl week. But it's going to be fun to watch. We did have one more tweet. Hold on, let me read that real quick. I want to put out there, Fourth and Long LLC, Fourth and Long Radio LLC on Twitter, said the only one I would say is the Packers. Everything that we're talking about is validating the fact that right now there is no consensus favorite. And for us as football fans, that adds a lot of intrigue. But this week, fam, we are not making our Week 17 NFL picks on the show. Will T, don't choke this away, bro. You kind of lost your lead a little somewhat.
I didn't choke football anything away. I like the competition. I like the competition. I didn't choke anything away, dog.
Of course, check our picks out on the Football Garbage Time website. Just go to www.footballgarbagetime.com. Of course, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and YouTube. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Empire Media, at empiremedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Empire Media shows, as well as other great content. Thanks for listening. In the words of Wole, who will be back next week, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Team. Will T, give me the For Ages joint, man.
For Ages. You got to say
you dig.
You dig.
My man.
Deuces.
All right, that was tragic. Let's try again. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Team for ages.
You dig.
Deuces, I'm horrible at this. Wole, looking forward to have you back next week. Mega lead us out, big homie. Swag.